Welcome to the next installment of the Black Tower podcast. You are lucky to be here.
Which I have started watching WandaVision. I can't wait for the next episode this Friday.
I love WandaVision. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I've already looked up like the theories and stuff because I don't know all the characters enough to know like possibilities and stuff. I didn't do it until I finished the third episode, so I wasn't spoiled on the series.
We have some friends who are very, very familiar with the comics, and they're like, oh, we know all this stuff about it. And I'm like, I don't know anything about the comics, but when I watch the show, I get the real sense that it's an Easter egg hunt. It's an Easter egg fest for those who are familiar with the comics, and for the rest of us, it's...
Like the symbol for sword?
Oh my god, what the hell is happening? And it's fun. I like it. That's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's one that they think that like that seems like the series has taken most of its inspiration from, but even then it's not fully following it, and it's not expected to, because MCU has never followed all the comics, because so Civil War would have ended very differently than it did.
Oh, yeah.
And well, I wish it had gone the way it did in the comics, but the Civil War saga was so long anyway that they would have had to make four movies for Civil War by itself.
No, it was good. It was good.
But good anyway...
happening. And.
Since we're talking, who are you?
We're here.
Who are you?
Who are you?
I am the one who knocks.
Thank you for joining us. I am Josh. I am the Sorovan Mahel.
And I am Andrew. I am the Baishahan Mahel of mucus. Not that I'm sick or anything, but you can't say Baishahan Mahel without, you know, some phlegm in your throat.
I mean... That's how you spell it, right? B-A-I phlegm.
Yeah, there you go. Daniel is not with us currently. He may pop in later. He is busy doing something.
He's doing Dragon Banner things.
Yeah.
He's on a mission.
Yeah.
Classified mission.
He would follow us, but the banner was up, so he had to follow it.
At the behest of the Mahal. If you guys aren't in the Patreon, if you guys are not in our Discord, you absolutely should be. Go to blacktowerpod.com, check out our Discord link. And if you want to listen to us live and see what these tainted lads are doing in the chat here, you can join up on our Patreon for just $1 a month at our lowest tier. You can tune in to these episodes live and listen to us record, and you also get to hear the things that get edited out. Like, that's a thing that happens. Not all the time. There are a few times in which we just decide to go raw, but there are some comments that are made every once in a while that do get edited out.
Long-term supporters of the Patreon and listeners of the podcast will know that what feels like 75 ages ago, we told you that we were making improvements and changes to the Patreon to give back more for the people that support us so kindly. And it is happening. If you haven't already seen the post on Patreon, we're waiting on some designs to be finalized. I can tell you there are two designs out of a total of at least seven that are all but final step finalized. We got to wait on one person to finalize the designs for submittal to what we're trying to do with them, and then we will submit it, and I'm sure that whoever who we're submitting it to do what we want to do with it will have questions about it and some issues with it, because some parts of it are kind of small. But I'm used to that. I've struggled with that my whole life.
With things being small.
Yeah, with things being small. Hard to see, hard to define. You know, you need a couple of magnifying glasses. If you can get the Hubble telescope to look at it, then you can finally see it clearly. I'll put the micro in micro whatever. And it's even funnier because I always have the microwave issue too.
You just keep going.
Yeah.
Ancient Chinese proverb, when digging yourself into a hole, take your hands off the shovel. Which is a polite way of telling people to shut up. I loved saying that to people. Polite way of telling them to shut up. But you know what, Andrew?
You're
absolutely right. The Patreonians have been waiting. They have been faithful to the Black Tower. They have been amazing in their patience. And we shall not fail you. We are moving into the final stages. finalizing things, getting things ready. And I want to just give you guys the disclaimer, like, Patreon is a thing that's going to be a fluid thing as we become more popular and famous, because you know we are. I mean, duh.
Something like that. Right. So there's going to be changes after the initial changes and all happen. There'll be more changes, additions, maybe subtractions as we absolutely have to. And then there's some, because some of the stuff is going to be based off of very specific schedules that initially at least will be based on the individual person until Patreon gets to like a size where that's no longer manageable, and then it'll be standardized. And that's all I can tell you. There is no spoiler warning for the Patreon stuff, and we can't give it out. But I will tell you that when it comes out, you will love it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I can't wait to get my hands on some of the stuff that we're going to be doing and giving to you guys that have been so gracious to give back to us. I can tell you that where there are currently three Patreon tiers, when all is said and done, there will be a total of six. Six Patreon tiers.
Six levels of goodness.
Yeah. So it'll be structured. Everything will be very much explained. And we'll probably even do a video if we have the time, which we will eventually, explaining everything. But it's super exciting, super good. And if you've seen the post on Patreon, it gives you a little bit more of a peek into what might be happening to some degree. If you haven't, make sure you head on over to our Patreon, which you can access by going to blacktowerpod.com, just like you would to get our Discord link, our YouTube, Twitch, whatever other links.
It's almost like everything is at blacktowerpod.com.
Yeah. Everything that's important in life is at blacktowerpod.com, including the ever erect Black Tower,
which stands firmly erect and
firm
unified.
And united.
Firm, solid, united.
Yep. So that's happening. We're also going to work on streamlining some of the plugs and stuff, trying to keep each individual one to no more than 2 to 3-ish minutes. If you're listening live, you'll still hear us talk about them at normal. But whenever you listen back or you watch back on YouTube, it will be in a very streamlined thing, which you will see the first one of in a minute, because the first that we need to do is go ahead and do a quick shout out to the Crystal Barista, longtime sponsor of the Black Tower podcast, even longer time sponsor of Josh and all of his ridiculous hobbies and shenanigans.
You're not wrong, my good sir. I don't know if you guys have heard of a condition called ADHD. Well, take ADHD and amplify that by 10. That's this guy. I'm a squirrel on crack. One week it's rebuilding a car. One week it's blacksmithing. One week it's like hemp weaving. I'm all over the place. The Crystal Barista works her hardest to fund me, to fund my like insane tangents. So please support her so that my tangents are less stressful on her.
Yeah, you get some dope stuff, and don't just go to crystalbarista.com. Make sure you hit up facebook.com/rock R-O-C-K pick P-I-C-K, because there are some exclusive deals that your boy may or may not have taken advantage of. I still need to get my invoice for that, by the way.
That's because she knew it was you, and she was like, I got you, fam.
Oh.
She'll get it to you, though.
So become a founder and host of the Black Tower podcast, and you might get some dope swag from the Crystal Barista. But definitely check out Facebook, because sometimes there's some really dope deals where you can get raw minerals, crystals, and all kinds of really dope rock of the earth stuff for lower than listed price.
Literally anything you want in the rock gem / mineral world, she can facilitate for you. If you are of the nature of the sorts that you would like to travel, but you don't really know where to travel, you can check on her Facebook page for when we do rock hounding tours, where we take people out to locations to find your own rocks. And we always make sure we go to a place that is plentiful, and you will always find something good. That is super awesome.
Josh and Adrian. Josh and the Crystal Barista, I'm going to cut her name out of that because I don't know if she wants to say it. Does she care?
She does not care.
Okay, so Josh and Adrian will be more
I say
than
her name all
happy
the time.
to make sure that you, yeah, that's fair. Josh and Adrian will be more than happy to make sure you are awake by 7 o'clock in a car for 2 hours and have to shit in the wilderness of Utah to go hunting for the possibility of some dope rocks.
Hey,
so
to be fair,
oh God,
you guys did find, no kidding, on that trip,
Daniel
at the
did.
Gathering Madness. Well, Daniel did.
I found a fossilized fern leaf, which was still pretty
which
dope.
Which was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Daniel found an ammonite fossil, like literally this big, actually as big as your head. Like, we're talking, I realize the people in the Patreon can't really see it. It's huge. Yeah. Here, Andrew, get a screenshot of this and share it in there. So it's like, yeah, it was literally like the thing is huge.
That's a thumbnail face. I need to use
that out there that trip. That was a good trip.
Yeah. And I think that might be tied with second place for the biggest. Anyway,
we're not here to talk about Marvel. We're not here to talk about the blacktowerpod.com, which you should go to. We're not here to talk about thegreatblack.com, which
we'll
should
do the other
also
plugs
go
later.
To. We're not even supposed to talk about the Crystal Barista, which you should also go to.
Well, that is a damn lie, and you know it.
We are here.
We should always talk about the Crystal Barista.
But that's not the reason why people are listening.
Oh, it's not?
I mean, that might be a part of it. But the meat and potatoes. Okay? What we're here to talk about tonight.
Let's give the spoiler warning first.
Give the spoiler warning.
So, other plugs will be injected throughout the rest of it. I'll probably just be like, hey, Josh, you know what that reminds me of? This random thing. That's not really random, but for your
but we'll make it, we'll sell it. It'll
for your listening good. Pleasure, for the chaoticness of how everything has started today and how my last fucking week and a half has been, here's some nice soothing protection being provided for you. Here you go.
This is your Black Tower podcast, Wheel of Time spoiler warning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. If you continue to listen, you may be cursed with the knowledge yet to come. These curses may include knowledge that you are, in fact, just a farm boy. Drinking one glass of wine now leads to mustache pulling and a hell of a hangover. Resigning that you will never be as good with the ladies as your friends are. Realizing Andrel is bae, regardless of your gender or sexual orientation.
Damn right he
is. The inability to stop tugging your braid in anger, even if you don't have hair. And understanding that the word taint is simultaneously a noun, adjective, and verb. Discovering you have more titles than actual name. BDE, also known as Big Dragon Energy, becomes undeniable. Finding yourself promising to read A New Spring and never getting to it. An uncontrollable urge to argue over inconsistent pronunciations. Knowing that hating Gon is a responsibility, not a privilege. Again, there are no beginnings or endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. Have been warned.
Oh, thank you, Registered Nerd, for that epic, epic spoiler warning. You're awesome. We love you. And if you want to do one and you have some great ideas for us, all you have to be is a $1 Patreon of ours, and you can record us a spoiler warning and send it. So
please
make sure you go and do that.
Spoiler warning short. Okay, what are we talking about? Now that we got spoiler warnings out of the way, what are we talking about? What are we doing here, Andrew?
So for this episode, we have decided that we are going to talk about how we went from the first age into the second age. So you may know the first age as the age that is supposed to be like our lifetime, and the second age is the age of legends. The first age, as we talk about it in the Wheel of Time, this is the age that comes before the age of legends. Ended many, many, many thousand years before the age that happens in the novels that we read. So little is known concretely about the first age. We know that portal stones find their way from the first age We know that there are stories from this time that all the Gleeman, or not all, but some Gleeman still tell, which is where we kind of get scenes where Egwene is like, you know, tell us about, I forgot the names. Lynn, who flew to the moon in the belly of an eagle made of fire, reference. Salya, his daughter, who walked among the stars. And Jordan has confirmed that that's a reference to John Glenn and Sally Ride. Eagle Made of Fire.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
When you talk about the previous ages, when you talk about the Age of Legends, it's interesting because Robert Jordan does this really amazing thing where he talks about, you know, of course we all know the opening scrawl, right? You know, a wind rose. The wind was not a beginning. It was a beginning.
Tell you what, after a Taco Bell, a wind does rise.
You're not wrong, sir.
There you go,
the Age of Legends, you know, I'm messing it up so bad. Hold up. Something.
We're a little off kilter. It's been a crazy week for at least both of us.
Yeah, stories fade to legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when
the age that gave it birth comes to pass again.
Comes to pass again. So when you talk about, when we talk about the Age of Legends, the second age, like we talk about the Age of Legends almost as in this very holy or very sacred terms of, you know, oh my gosh, in the Age of Legends they could blah blah blah, and so many
have an effect for
this to the point
the Age of Legends.
Yeah, and by the time we get to this point in the series, there are so many people that are so like almost kind of disenfranchised with the Age of Legends, right? They're like, oh yeah, the Age of Legends, little air quotes there. They don't believe the Age of Legends. It's, you know, the names of the Forsaken are used in the same way that we use the term the boogeyman. Like, it's not a thing that exists for people. It's not a thing that's real to people. It's a thing that is a myth or a story that we tell. It's a tradition that we hold in our hearts somewhere, but we don't know why. And a lot of people are kind of moving away from it because it's just whatever, we don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of seen as myth because, for one, it wasn't just like 20 years ago, 50, 100, 200 years ago. It was several thousand years ago.
Right.
So, like, when we talk about the second age of Legends, this is all prior to the breaking of the world, because that was the defining factor or time that led us from the Age of Legends into the third age. It's kind of how the third age started, with the breaking of the world.
And even the breaking was a very, very long time ago. Like, so when you're talking about the activities of the Age of Legends.
Sorry, I thought I heard somebody else's voice and I thought I was being haunted again.
Maybe you are. Maybe it's someone from the Age of Legends. Maybe Mogedion is visiting you in your dreams.
Oh, we'll have to do that as like a special, not episode, but I can, we'll have a thing where I tell all my ghost stories. Anywho.
But so you're talking about a lot of time. So you're talking about basically all of recorded human history, like up until this point, being a single age. I'm talking about in our world right now.
Everything that they know has happened within their age. Exactly. They know the breaking, but some of the details have been lost because it was that long ago. The Age of Legends, a lot of it has been forgotten and lost. Enough to where many of the Aes Sedai say, like, that is a weave that was lost during the Age of Legends or after the Age of Legends during the breaking, which is the nice way of saying everybody that knew how to do that died. They're gone.
Yeah.
Dead.
And so when you talk about,
I think even the air walking, I think, was lost during after the Age of Legends, because that was like the flight weave, right?
And so much of, you know, this is the interesting thing too, because so much of what we know about the Age of Legends is, you know, minuscule what we know about the Age of Legends. When it comes to the first age, the age before the Age of Legends, it's such a mind-bogglingly long amount of time that we know almost nothing. And that's what Andrew was referring to before, is the references that Robert Jordan made to our current time as being the first age.
Yeah. I mean, look at the amalgamation of Glenn, of John Glenn and Sally Ride. Sally Ride was never on Apollo. Sally Ride right. flew twice in Challenger before the Challenger exploded. So, like, I mean, that could be explained as to why she is seen as the daughter of Glenn. Right. And obviously, like, the name changed to Salia. But it's really cool. Whenever you look at this, I think it's meant to fuck with your mind, because it fucks with my mind all the time. Is how many stories do we have now that are the same amalgamation yes. of shit in history? Because, like, we talk about the oldest known written story for mankind is the Epic of Gilgamesh from ancient Sumeria. How many right. other stories do we know that were told through word of mouth? Because that was the main way of storytelling before writing was invented. There are just weird amalgamations. How much of Norse mythology, how much of Greek slash Roman, well, Greek mythology and then Roman slash Greek, because the Romans stole everything from the Greeks, including right. their land, is just an amalgamation of things from the past. So it's really cool.
And Robert Jordan himself has gone on to say that in interviews where he talks about, you know, they ask him about this wheel of time. What is this wheel of time? And he says that, you know, it's a concept from other societies and other philosophies that basically say that time is a wheel and everything that happened before will happen again. And it's these things that just keep happening in a big wheel. In a big turning of the wheel of time. And he loved that idea and he loved that concept. Obviously, he loves living in a linear time where we can change, where we can get outside of those things and we can progress and evolve. But when you've got a particular format as a wheel of time, where things that have happened will happen again, you know, this not only does it create like an interesting story for us to read, but it creates a really interesting world for him to write as well. So he can make these extremely obscure references to John Glenn and Sally Ride, but then he can take it to the next step. He says, okay, well, what are we differentiating between the first age and the second age? And the other thing is we don't even really know how many, quote, ages there are in the turning of the wheel. What we know about how big this wheel is age, you know, the different legends and myths are long forgotten when their time to shine comes back around again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who's to say that in coming ages that what we call the first age for us isn't the, you know, fifth or sixth age for them?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, if you keep all these records and enough of it survives, which I hedge to think doesn't, because we're kind of told, you know, by that whole saying, you know, that everything fades by the time that what gave it rise comes around again. That by the sixth age, there's not enough remaining of history to tell anybody about the first age, except for like maybe right. one or two stories, but you don't know where it's from.
And the reason we refer to this as the quote third age is because we know of two other ages prior to this time in the books. Okay.
We know that not everybody does, because it says in an age called the third age by some.
Yes. And that's the thing is, as a reader in the book, we go, the current age we're in is the, quote, third age, because we know of the age of legends prior to this age, and then even an age further beyond, which would suggest that we don't even know that what we're saying is the first age, our time. We don't even know that it is the first age. We just know that those are scraps of myths that have survived into our current age in the stories. My head is exploding right now, man. This is
it's so easy.
It's a huge story, though.
It's so easy to get things mixed up. Sorry, I just saw something and I was trying to do something on my phone that I can do on the computer while I'm talking.
It's okay. Honestly, this topic is real difficult because we love to get into these kinds of things, and even if they're not confirmed, it's still fun to theorize and to dig in and to really just kind of bite into the meat of these types of scenarios. And with this one specifically, how do we find ourselves? How do we transition between the first age where we only have scraps of myths from that age? How do we go from that age to the age of legends? What happens? Because we know from the age of legends to the third age, what we refer to as the third age, there was great calamity, and it basically set humanity back thousands of years. But yeah, from the first age to the second age, obviously things got way better.
There's a wrench in my thought. Because my initial thought is, well, the discovery of magic, because I'm thinking our world, discovery of magic, that would change everything. But from what we have now read, in the history of the first age, that we know portal stones come from the first age, then that would imply that it could have been like at the very end, honestly, of the first age. But that also implies that magic existed, I would think, for at least some kind of time, albeit maybe short or whatever have you, in the first age. But we also know from our own reality that, and this is where you get into people that talk about things like the existence of aliens, of technological advancement, that kind of stuff, that any sufficiently advanced technology that we can't understand looks and has all the appearance and likenesses of magic. So this is why to us, something like traveling at or near the speed of light would look like magic to us. The ability to change things like alchemy and stuff used to be viewed as magic, whereas now we can understand like chemical reactions and physical reactions, that kind of stuff in between different elements, crystals, chemical compounds, solutions, all that. Like, so from there, I kind of have to figure out where is that dividing line that changes the first age into the second age. Because like Josh said, it's very easy to go from the age of legends into the third age, because you do have that catastrophic event of the bore being drilled, of the breaking of the world happening, of all of this going on. And there's a cataclysmic style event that happens that expressly denotes the dividing line between second and third age. But we don't know enough about the first age to know what it is. And I don't think it's something as simple as magic being discovered, because I think the portal stones are around for a while before we go from first age to second age. Is it a certain point in development of magic where it becomes something that's more mainstream? Is it the point where the use of magic outweighs and overshadows the use of things like fossil fuels, renewable energy sources, and technology, to where we hit kind of a cap with technology and we break past that cap with magic? So were portal stones initially activated with a technological style key, and now they have found a way to more easily activate portal stones with magic? Or, and is that our dividing line?
What if...
Hello, everyone. Everyone loves merchandise, whatever it's about. It's people love to get it for whatever reason, for holidays, for birthdays, for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa presents, whatever kind of thing. Why not give you another place to where you can go and get some awesome merch? Popular for all kinds of different reasons, this is New Creations by Jen. It's an amazing shop where you can find all sorts of Wheel of Time inspired merch. It's also the only place where you can go and join the Frosty Mug Society. To give an example, our own Black Tower podcast Frosty Mug is a part of the Frosty Mug Society. Now, there are a total of 6, as of the time that I'm talking now, Frosty Mugs in the Frosty Mug Society on New Creations by Jen. And those span several different content creators from the Wheel of Time content creator community. You can go and get the Black Tower podcast one, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, The Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and of course, Weekly Will News. All 6 of those content creators, again, including us, have Frosty mugs, and they all look super dope. Jen does an amazing job. So make sure you go and get one and join the Frosty Mug Society. Beyond the mugs, there are the Frosty mugs. There are regular mugs that you can get. There are t-shirts that you can get with all kinds of different designs on them that are inspired by the content creator platform suggestions they've sent in are just overall Wheel of Time inspired items. You can find menswear, ladieswear, unisex wear, hats, all kinds of really dope stuff. Now, if you don't want to just get content creator based stuff and you want more just Wheel of Time inspired stuff, make sure you check out Weekly Wheel News' section of New Creations by Jen. And that's where you can find all things from Gator Shufas to Outdoor Forms tees to dice cups and die to coasters to just everything that we have seen Rob with Weekly Wheel News put out over forever. And you can find it here under the Weekly Wheel News on New Creations by Jen. This is an epic site that is only overshadowed by how epic the items and the owners are. Again, Rob and Jen put in a ton of work. They work really well together and really well with the creators that want to be a part of this. So it's fantastic. So make sure you head on over to newcreationsbyjen.com and get yourself your very own Black Tower Podcast Frosty mug. And while you're there, make sure you pick up anything from the vast assortment of Wheel of Time inspired merchandise.
What if portal stones were almost the beginning of the end, right? What if we discover portal stones or we discover channeling and we start exploring as we do, as humans do, we start exploring, okay, what can we do with this? We've got channelers now. We can do things, and channelers start making things that can deal with all kinds of things. Well, a very popular scientific theory in our current day is a multiverse. Is there a multiverse? We've got string theory. We've got quantum theory. We've got all these things. So imagine right now, if someone discovered channeling, you can't tell me there wouldn't be someone not using the one power to try and bore a hole through time and space, which is where we could get gateways from. But then someone says, it's not enough.
If nowadays people theorizing with quantum theory and string theory and multiverse theory and things like that,
tell me right now, if someone in our time right now discovered channeling, would they not try to use the one power to burrow a gateway or a hole into another reality or into another dimension?
And I reject your reality and substitute my own that I found through this magical portal.
Literally. All I do is see Sidene. I mean, it creates a lot of story mechanism. It creates a lot of beauty in the story where you've got people who create these portal stones. Maybe they pop themselves into one of these parallel worlds, one of these mirror realms, and they learn from their mistakes. They say, what the hell happened here? You know, it's like Ant-Man coming back out of the quantum realm, right? And finding all the people gone. He's only been gone for 5 minutes, but he comes back and all the people are gone. Maybe someone uses this portal stone, goes to one of these mirror realms and goes, what the hell happened here? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah happened. And they're like, shit, we're gonna need to go back and tell people not to do that. And they can use that as a guiding light to learn from mistakes they haven't yet made and lead them into the Age of Legends. Or maybe they find themselves in a mirror realm that people are, you know, enlightened and happy, and people have learned a lot. I know in the books, when we go into a mirror realm, it's rarely a good thing. It seems like it almost always ends up to be a bad thing. However, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe there are good mirror realms. I feel like the portal stones probably are not key to that, but I feel like there are other Tirong Greal that are crafted that help propel humanity into what we now know in the stories as the Second Age or the Age of Legends. Thus, you know, suggesting that the coming and passing of an age doesn't necessarily have to be instantaneous. It also doesn't necessarily have to be catastrophic. It could be a good thing. It could be a significant jump forward in evolution rather than a significant jump back. Andrew, you're muted.
I'm muted, duh.
I said, that's Taint is with us tonight.
Yeah. I'm fairly distracted. Well, I was briefly distracted by something. We'll see if I get distracted by it again. But yeah, I mean,
I believe in you.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen what I'm distracted by, but we'll see. We'll give it time to see if it happens for us as well. Which it might. Anyway.
Hashtag ominous.
This is why getting notifications and stuff on your phone and your computer while you're trying to record an episode isn't always the greatest, but it is the greatest.
So something good just happened. Potentially good just happened. And
I'll just say it. What on Prime... So basically, Will Reads, they tweeted, said, we all know What on Prime watches Dusty Will, but I wonder if they listen to any of our other podcasts. If any, I'm thinking Around Talk. And they tweeted back and said, yours, Talk Around Riyadh, Tashar Manethrin, Tar Valon or Bust, any others that we should subscribe to? And they've gotten a ton of responses, like Will Weaves responded, and they the Wheel of Time account responded with subscribed. Same with Bard of the Red Hand, they said they'll check it out soon. They have subscribed to Malkier Talks. So our sexiest chef in Malkier.
Congratulations.
Has now been subscribed to by the Wheel of Time official account. And so when I said I was distracted, I was hopping onto our Twitter to throw our name in the ring, of course, because who doesn't want to be followed or subscribed to on YouTube or anything by them? Which it may not happen for us because I think our Twitter profile lists our website rather than our YouTube, which is still pretty easy.
Dude, that's exciting.
The name is in the ring. So if you want them to subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever they're subscribing, go over and throw our name in and like our comment and that kind of stuff. Like Josh just did and I did.
That's like what I did. Yeah, I'm totally not distracted. We're totally getting distracted here.
Yeah, so there's no news, but the Wheel of Time on Prime account is still managing to distract us with just being themselves, which is awesome. That's all we ever ask. Just be yourselves.
Oh, it looks like also Barside Chats tagged us.
Oh, really?
So that's good. Hey,
I'm not getting notifications because we're both looking. Oh, yeah, they did.
Thank you. If you guys haven't checked out Barside Chats pod, they're pretty awesome, too. I'm going to give them a shout out right now because you guys are awesome. You tagged us. Thank you so much.
And I was on an episode of theirs that is not exclusively just Wheel of Time. Incorporates some real life events that you've probably already seen the chat about it or whatever. We're not making it big time. The people that they're already subscribed to are making it big time. And there could be a fundamental family-friendly reason why we're not included. Oh, snap. They responded.
What?
They said, love spoilers, listening to them, not posting them, of course. All right, this brief tangent in the actual podcast is brought to you by Twitter. Your one-stop shop for all things to distract you.
If you're not following at Wheel of Time, what on Prime, what are you even doing with your life? You know they're going to make the most amazing TV show. It's going to happen. Do it. What do you think? Okay, if you could. Okay, so Andrew, real quick. On the topic of our show tonight.
What were we talking about again?
If you could identify, so I think we can all identify.
Are we trying to identify the point?
Yeah. So the point at which the Age of Legends ends, and you've got the is the breaking, right? Now the breaking is not like a single moment. It doesn't happen in like one day, right? They bore into the Dark One's prison in order to find the true source because they think it's going to be better, right? Because we're humans, we're greedy. We've got this clean, renewable energy. We want more. And I mean, that's not always a bad thing, but in this case, it was a really bad thing.
You want some more? Like, here's more than you can handle.
We just unleashed the Dark One into the world. We're going to create seals and we're going to seal him back. And then he ends up tainting Sidene. Once Sidene is tainted, I would say that that moment is the beginning of the breaking. But I would also suggest that the breaking is probably something that happened over the course of about 100 years.
just because you've got men who immediately sequestered themselves in steadings so that they couldn't reach the source and not go mad and not kill everybody. So it was prolonged. It was drawn out. But by the time you had it all configured to where they were done destroying things, and the Aes Sedai had established themselves, and the female Aes Sedai who were remaining established themselves in separate groups and started to unite, that I would say that the beginning of the end of the Age of Legends was the Dark One's taint affecting male channelers, and the beginning of the Third Age, or the age that we're in now, would be the founding of the White Tower, or at least the unification of the female Aes Sedai who are left. That would be, I would say, that would be the defining moment of.
Wish I could stop transition. Muting myself. I should just stop muting myself. You guys are going to get vape noises in the background for this episode. I cannot pay attention to Twitter and do this. Well, everybody listening live already gets it, but now everybody on the episode is going to get it too. So that doesn't sound right to say.
As far as a moment between the first and the second age, what would you say? I know what I would say, but what would you say would be sort of, and it doesn't matter, it could be over the course of 100 years, whatever, but what would you say would be the beginning of the transition from the first age to the second age? And what would you say would be like the final nail in the coffin that sealed the first age off and brought forth the second age?
Oh, wait, brought forth the fourth age.
Second.
Oh, so I mentioned it while, to be fair, I mean, we're all about transparency and the like here.
To be fair.
So I mentioned it then, but I didn't concretely say what I thought it was. I think the portal stones and the like existed for a while, and you caught that part of the conversation, I know for sure, during the first age for a while. And I think they were initially probably activated by some kind of technological device. You know, they had a proxy card reader that you went up and put your computer chip in your hand up to, and it read, and you're like, what is your destination? Transporting you now. Or something like that. But then they found they could activate it just as easily, if not better, with magic. I think that the tipping point to go from the first age into the Age of Legends is when they kind of hit a pause with technology and magic overshadowed what technology could do. So now you had this broad new horizon, potential utopia coming out, where magic was now the driving force instead of like electricity or fossil fuels or renewable energy, that kind of stuff. Hmm. I think that was where that tipping point happened. I think is where, if I was a member of the Brown Aja or a historian, and I lived in the second age, and I was looking at what really defines from there to here, it'd be the move from tech to magic. I think that's what defines it. Because you're going to have, you know, just like whenever Xbox releases anything or PlayStation releases anything, you're going to have those first couple, that first amount of time where things crash, things give you the red eye of death, if you remember the 360 launch for Xbox and all that kind of stuff. It's going to happen like that. But I think at the tipping point where it was magic that could provide more and do better than technology would be the time where it switched over.
I like that. I like that. Because you've got a real Harry Potter-esque style dichotomy, right? Where you've got the muggles in Harry Potter who rely on technology, and as such they've got things that are more advanced and things that the wizarding world just doesn't understand. And then you've got the wizarding world over here that are so relied on magic that they almost haven't progressed as a society. You know, they don't understand what electricity is or how it works or why anybody would need or want it. So it's an interesting little bit of a flip. So I love that that's where you're going, is when humanity leans less on technology and more on magic. That would be an excellent transition point. I actually like that better than what I was going to say, which was that when you, well, actually, I think I was going to kind of say the same thing. I was going to say that when you start having a situation in which people are using Tirang Rial, or magic users, channelers are creating Tirang Rial or other types of things where...
What is a proxy card but a Tirang Rial?
Yeah, exactly. Like that people could use, maybe if you're not a channeler, or maybe if you can't channel enough, someone has started manufacturing Tirang Rial that would allow you, you know, like they talk about, you know, in the Age of Legends, the weaves just being there for anybody to use. You know, when channelers start producing objects of the power that anyone can use, and they start using those things in their daily lives, that would signify the end of the first age and the beginning of the second age, mm-hmm. which I believe is a much more roundabout way of saying people more dependent on magic than they are technology.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the other things that we know is we're talking about like trying to figure out this dividing line, what makes the first age go into the second age, is we know that something happens either on an extinction level or an evolutionary level with the animals that we know, because the museum and the Panarch's Palace in Tanchico holds, we already know the Mercedes-Benz logo, like the hood ornament from a car, from a Mercedes-Benz vehicle.
Right.
But it also holds a frieze, which I assume is like a painting or tapestry, that depicts animals unknown in the third age, so including what is recognizably a giraffe. And so there's that and the Mercedes-Benz vehicle symbol that are both mentioned. Which is absolutely, we talked about this with the Dragon Reread, how it was hilarious that the strange symbol that is the Mercedes-Benz hood ornament also was considered to also represent like hubris, which I find infinitely funny from somebody that has never owned the fanciest car I've ever owned or even been in is a Chevrolet Camaro. So like, yeah, when I look at things like BMWs, Mercedes-Benz, Ferraris, Lambos, all that kind of stuff, I see it as very, I don't necessarily see them as like very like hubris thing, even though the stereotype is that people that can afford those are very like prideful and very, oh, look at me. I don't think that is the full stereotype, honestly, but I could definitely see in the 80s and 90s, even into the early 2000s, it's still being seen as something like, oh, that's your car? Will I drive a Mercedes-Benz?
Right.
Oh, these are your Sunday best? Huh, that is my Monday worst. But I mean, it's hard because like we just don't have the information to give us the dividing line, which I think is, I definitely think is intentional. It leads into the credence of everything being forgotten very, because from our reading perspective, it seems like the first age was forgotten very quickly for us, and that a lot of the second age was forgotten very quickly for us. But in reality, for the world, if you were put into the world, not from somebody outside of the world, reading something that spans and tells you all of this, it's very easy to see that it all happened very quick, but in reality, it happened over an untold thousands of years, because there's no prescription, there's no guideline that says that each age is 40,000 years. The first age might have been 100,000 years, and the second age might have only been 5,000 or 6,000 years.
You know,
it's these events, these arbitrary events that create the different spokes of the wheel, which you're guided away from thinking about, because the spokes on the wheel, as we see it in the symbology and we think about it, are very evenly spaced. But in reality, they may not be. You might have five spokes of the wheel at the top right, and the others are spread out very sporadically through the rest, because at some point, you know, they have to go through the Stone Age. Does the First Age include all of our history, or is the Stone Age like the fifth or sixth age?
I mean, that's a really great point as well, because I don't think it is smart to say, you know, that there's a good timeline per age, because, well, I mean, if you could see the entire wheel, maybe like, like the creator, if you could see the entire wheel, then yeah, you'd know the exact length of the ages, because you could observe the entire wheel of time as it's spinning. For us mere mortals who live but a blink in the age of legends.
I still click the mute button because I'm a dumbass. I was like, you spin me right round, Joshy, right round, like the wheel of time, baby, go round, round.
I love it. No, but it's just, it's real difficult to gauge a time frame, you know, because we're talking about events, and these events, they happen when they happen. And there's no way for us to be able to see when they're going to happen, because we are mere mortals.
This is true.
It is true.
So if you, and did I miss it? Like, did you give your dividing line between the first and second age?
Yes. So once channelers become manufacturers of goods that will increase the lives and livelihoods of the people around them, that's what I believe marks the beginning of the second age. So in the first age, the beginning of the end of the first age is the discovery of channeling. Right. So people start going, oh, it's channeling. What can we do? And of course, as with all new major discoveries, there's at first a strictly scientific application of the thing that you've just discovered. And that's just how it is. I mean, because we have to understand it, we have to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into it and things become more common knowledge, and things become more, and look at any technology. I mean, GPS was once strictly a military application because we didn't have enough satellites to really make it viable for everyone.
The Air Force says you're welcome, by the way, guys. Just going to put that out there.
And,
The Marine Corps, everybody's a rifleman. Well, we gave you GPS to figure out where the fuck you're going.
And now it's something that's literally in every single handheld device. Like, it's everywhere.
We get pissed when it doesn't work. Like, anytime my GPS messes up and I'm trying to, because I'll, for where I work, we have an app called Building Locator, where I can put in the building number and find where the fuck I'm going, because I don't know every building on the space, or this station, I guess is what I should call it, because it's not Air Force.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. But whenever it fucks up and my GPS doesn't work, like that's one, like the whole reason I have the Galaxy, like this is the A71. Or it's not a Galaxy, it's just a Samsung A71. Right. Or no, it is part of the Galaxy line. But I went from the Galaxy Note 8 to the Galaxy A71 purely because on the Note 8, the GPS was messing up. I don't even know why I got a Note 8. I never used the pen. Never. Right. I just like the bigger screen.
Yeah.
You don't want the pin. You just think the screen is shiny.
Once shiny.
That's not where it comes from.
Once we get to a point where you've got people that are saying, damn it, Terangrial, what's wrong with the weaves? Rather than, damn it, electricity, what's wrong with, like, you know, right now it's commonplace for us to have issues with our Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew has an issue where if his internet goes out, it's because someone's microwaving something.
My
internet goes out because Comcast is crazy and it just happens. And that's fine. I believe that the beginning of the end of the first age is the discovery of channeling. So we discovered that people can now take this mystical force into their body and channel it out, right? All of a sudden, that changes the world. Now we've got people studying this. Once it goes from this new scientific oddity to be studied to a commonplace thing, something that's being mass produced or something that is in every home in America, like the automobile, now we've seen the end of an age. And I think that a really cool thing to look at here is that we can use our own human history as an overlay when you start transitioning ages. Perfect example of that is the automobile. The automobile was invented, and then it was seen as something that was completely wacky, something that nobody would ever take advantage of. And then Henry Ford came out and said, what if we could manufacture hundreds of these at a time and make them affordable so that every family in America can own one? Well, now we see a change in the era, change in the age. We've gone from the horse and buggy age to the automobile age. And we've got another one, the computer, the inception of the computer. Remember, the computer was like around in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, but the damn thing was so big and so unwieldy.
Was that when like a 5 megabit disk was like literally the size of your body?
Yeah, it was really
megabyte, not megabit.
You get ticker tape, like tape would come out with, you know, printed on it. That's
where all your zeros and ones are, and you paid people to interpret the binary code from the printed pages. This is the shit that sent NASA to the fucking moon. No bullshit. Yeah. What is the movie about? It was a very popular movie. I can't remember the main actress that was in it, but it was all the people that were behind the math and the computations that put the first man Hidden in Figures. Space. Hidden Figures. Watch Fantastic it. Watch show. Hidden Figures. It's a great movie from any aspect. I'm not going to get into specifics here because we don't do that on the podcast normally. If you haven't seen it, go and watch Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures is a fantastic movie. I'm going to say it. Hidden Figures is a fantastic movie from the perspective of technological advancement, from the perspective of respecting people regardless of their race or gender or ethnicity.
Something that we at the Black Tower are very passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
A solid respect for
all. We haven't made it clear. Everybody is welcome at the Black Tower. And if you don't believe that, you're worse than a dark friend because Shaitan would be ashamed to be associated with you.
Yes. It's true. Factual statements.
But it's a good movie. Go and watch it. It's so good because it's got... why did I forget his name? He's so popular. He's played in like every movie. He played the instructor in The Guardian.
Oh, God.
You know who I'm talking about. Because we can all see his face right now. He was like the main female character's boss while she was doing all the computations.
Yep.
Because it also had the guy from that played Sheldon in Big Bang Theory.
Yes, and he was actually a dick.
Yeah, he was a bit of a dick, yeah. No, not a dick. He was a dick.
He was an actual, like, full-on, straight-up...
He was a full-on dick. Like, you can't put your name on this, like, processors or whatever. Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner, yeah. It's Kevin Costner.
He was also Robin Hood.
Was he?
It was a shit movie.
Every time I think Robin Hood, I think Robin Hood Men in Tights.
That was a better movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Robin Hood Prince of Thieves. Prince of Thieves was good because it had Alan Rickman as the sheriff.
Oh, please. Men in Tights was better because it had Dave Chappelle.
I didn't say it was better. I said it was good.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But go and watch it. Anyway.
Hidden Figures is great.
There's some credence. There's some stuff that gives credit to where you put your delineation line. Because it is noted that in the Age of Legends, both male and female Chandlers could make Angreal, Sangreal, and Ter Angreal, exactly. And sometimes held important civic positions. So this would be like the beginning of bringing these magic users into the realm of politics. You know, they would have had probably movements similar to things like the civil rights movement, to things like the same-sex marriage and LGBTQ+ movements, probably very similar because they would be a very minority group at first. But I also wonder if maybe part of what played a play in it is we know that currently genetic modification is a big thing in the science community. I wonder if Chandlers originate from genetic modifications from the first age. I mean, if Japan greenlights interspecies, cross species genetics so that they can bring us cat girls, you know, who's to say they don't find
first? On our quest to create cat girls, we created Chandlers.
It's also mentioned in the episode that isn't live yet. I got that part right. And I forgot to add in those those Nekos and that. But
Nico.
I'll break your Nico kneecaps. If you didn't know, we're a bit of anime nerds. Probably me so more than Josh, but Josh at least watches anime.
I hide it.
Daniel just avoids it
most.
Yeah, I have no shame in my anime game.
It's interesting when you talk about going from one age to the next. It's generally heralded by a big moment.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad moment. Now, as we know, I think actually this entire episode has been relatively spoiler free.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, we can spoil it right now because we know it's not really a spoiler for the series.
What I was going to say is I don't want to get too much in detail when we talk about the transition between the third age and the fourth age.
Yeah. Well, we know what it is. There's a big event. There's a big hole that is covered up. And
dude, we should do one of those spoilers without spoiling memes. We need to find four images that spoil a Memory of Light without spoiling Memory of Light.
Oh yeah. Well, mine's got to be Batman beating down Thanos for sure. That's my go-to.
I like it.
Apparently with the assistance of PewDiePie. So
I'm gonna do one that's a gif of SpongeBob diving into a hole and then like burying himself in it.
If you know, you know. And if you think hard enough, you can figure it out.
Represent. Hashtag represent.
So
my personal favorite is when I'm wearing my hashtag embrace the taint shirt and people are like, what the hell is that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you don't even know. Okay, listen here, pal. You're not ready for the taint. You can't handle the taint.
This is true.
You can't. Nobody can. Okay. First off, nobody can handle the taint. But you need to go to blacktowerpod.com and there is a merch link right there. And you need to go check out our designs. But more importantly, you need to go to newcreationsbyjen.com. You need to type in Black Tower Podcast and you need to get the Black Tower Podcast Frosty Mug, right? Because it's probably the best Frosty Mug out there. I mean, just saying. And I'm pretty sure that whatever you drink out of the Black Tower Pod Frosty Mug will taste better. That's just my opinion. I'm just throwing that out there. But you need to buy one just to verify my findings. That's just how it is. If you go to thegreatblight.com, you can see updates from all Wheel of Time content creators. So let's say you're at theblacktowerpod.com and you're like, hey, I don't know who else to follow. I don't know who else I should even go to. Well, my friends, you are in luck. Go to thegreatblight.com. And Nablus is a super cool guy, and he has created a compendium of Wheel of Time creators, content creators. And they can post there. And such names like Recapa Sadai, The Dusty Wheel, Takaran Riyad, your boys at the Black Tower, all of us are there presenting our wares to you. Hoping that you'll appreciate them and hoping that you'll like them.
Yeah. So, and of course, all of this is 100% voluntary. Anything that you buy from our shop, anything that you do with our Patreon, anytime that you're doing any of this, any kind of money we get does in one way or another, go back into the podcast. Definitely not at this time and not for the foreseeable future. Or even into the next five ages, do you foresee trying to make a living from this kind of stuff? If that kind of cash flow is coming in, then definitely hope that we can find enough podcast stuff and events to use the money for.
I will say this right now. If we ever got to the point where we were making enough money off of this to support a lifestyle, oh my God, you guys would be getting super ridiculous, amazing content. Just saying.
A benefit would be that Josh and I were on 24/7 call for tech support.
Bro, not even kidding. That would be like, that would just be there. Like,
yeah.
Call me. I will talk to you about the Wheel of Time or what's wrong with your computer.
Yeah. If we ever made that much money, it'd be so ridiculous. Like where I live now, I'd have like my own internet service just for my room, so the microwave didn't fuck it up.
Dude, that's like a dream, all kinds of shit. No kidding, to have my own home server to host all of my.
But it's never lost. It's never lost on us that all that you guys that support us, whether it's commenting on our Twitter, retweeting us, sending us emails, just downloading the episode, all that kind of stuff. It's never lost on us just how much support you guys give. And those of you that go above and beyond creating the promo images that y'all will see part of in this episode thumbnail, guaranteed. I don't know how I'm going to work it in, but it's going to be in there somewhere. It's like a little Easter egg for Mershadi at the least and the Patreons. It's going to be in there.
It's too good.
If you want to see the full thing, you know what
I'll probably do? If you want to see the full thing, jump into our Discord.
You know, I'm going to post it. If Mershadi gives permission, I will post it on Patreon behind the tier filter. So you have to be at least a $1 tier to see it. But it is worth a dollar a month at the very minimum. It's worth a lot more than that to us. But
he may also choose to post it himself in the forums, which you can see at blacktarpod.com in our own forums.
No, we'll leave it up to Mershadi. If you see it and you're not a $1 Patreon and above, then Mershadi has said, here, it's wherever. If you only see it on Patreon, well, then you know Mershadi is like, yeah, let's just do it on Patreon. Wherever. We're going to let our fact checker. Mershadi's like,
listen here, genius cannot be purchased, my friends.
Listen here, I don't think it's very fair for a British bulldog to melee with a teddy bear.
All right.
But yeah, so I think that is all of our plugs out of the way. We've talked about the Crystal Barista. We've talked about our own website. We've talked about the Great Blight. And we have talked about shown you the new creations by Jen. Again, can't stress it enough. Your support is amazing. We love it. And the long overdue promised redos and changes to Patreon, they are coming 100% guaranteed, codified. We are last step finalizing two designs for a super cool benefit for
it's gonna be awesome.
for two specific tiers.
So cool.
Yeah. It's something that's tradition of, and Josh will have to remember to do this. We'll have to make sure we put out what the tradition of it is. Because you and I already know the tradition of what this benefit is from the military. This and y'all can use that to pick out what it is.
This is going to be something that, okay, so first off, it's very deeply.
It's going to be something that you're only going to beat Josh and I at what the tradition is if we forget our versions of these, because we're going to have different versions.
So here's the deal. This is very deeply steeped in Air Force tradition. Other military branches tradition. Have kind of tried to be like, oh, okay, we'll do it.
It's but definitely a huge really Air Force and Army tradition.
It. Yeah, nobody's really committed to it like the Air Force has. We will bring you into the circle. We will bring you into this tradition without joining the Air Force by virtue of being a member of the Black Tower Podcast Patreon. You will be a part of this tradition.
We'll be clear. And you are not paying for, like, yeah, that's part of the tiers and the breakdown, the pure finances of it. Yes. But this is something that you get as part of the tier support. You're not directly buying it. And it's something that you will only be able to get by being a Patreon supporter.
Yes.
And part of the tradition requires that you have to be given this item for it to count for what the tradition is. If you are able to take that information we've just given you and figure out what it is, don't post it anywhere publicly. You can send it to us privately. And we will probably say that's an interesting thought, and that's about it.
There's a lot of tap dance here, and it's only because we are so excited about sharing it with you guys.
I just can't wait to fondle one in my hands.
I think it's gonna be my main. I still carry one to this day. I still carry one.
I used to. But I have no idea where the one I got while I was in went.
Yeah, I lost one in Guam.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And here's the thing. It's one that was irreplaceable. It's irreplaceable. I can't get it again. And it was so bad. I was super drunk.
and it can't replace it. And Morshadi, that's an interesting gift that Morshadi just posted.
I wasn't going to say it. I was literally keeping myself from saying it because it gives too much of a hint.
But that's okay. Hey, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being amazing at who you are.
And before we release you thoughts, to go about your duties, tell us a couple things. What do you think is the most incredible thing that may have happened in the First Age? You can pick something that we know happened, like portal stones, or something else. What is one of the coolest things that maybe was lost or we still see from the Age of Legends that you wish that we could see a bigger part of? But also, what do you think is the dividing line between the First Age and the Second Age, also known as the Age of Legends, in the Wheel of Time? What do you think it would be the tipping point to go from one age to the other age as a historian? Put on your brown sister sorting hat.
That's right.
Your brown Aja sorting hat, to say it better. I'll edit that other part out because it could be misinterpreted. And let us know.
Say it. It's a brown sister. Okay. When we say a brown sister, it's an Aes Sedai of the brown.
I was cognizant of it. That's all that matters. But we all know, if you're listening to these brand of podcasts and stuff, you know what it means. But so there we go.
Call a yellow sister when you need healing.
Yeah.
Let's not make it more than what it is, guys. It's in the realm of the books. Okay.
That's true. This is why we need Daniel here, because he mitigates this kind of shit.
He does. He's pretty good at that. So, you know what? Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you. We love you. You guys are amazing. We appreciate having you here. Please go to blacktarpod.com. Jump into our forums. Everything will be awesome. You guys are great. We love you. We're honored to have you. From all of us at the Black Tower, I have been Josh.
And I have been Andrew. And with us here in spirit is Daniel, of course, as always. And to codify his spirit, we're going to go ahead and say his classic tagline. We hope you've had a fantastic day. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening.
Good evening.
And good night.
Good night. Dude, we rocked it.
Yeah, we don't even need that guy anymore. He's just here for the tech. Oh, shit, it's still recording.